6:27.
I just blew up the car back in the wall.
I'm just making sure my phone's on.
I turned mine all the way on for that reason. You good? Okay, we'd like to start our city council meeting tonight, January 12th, 2021, first one of the first year. I'd like to welcome everyone here. We'll start tonight with Shane leading us with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'll offer the opening prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Heavenly Fathers, we come before Thee this evening. We are indeed thankful for the opportunity which we have to live in this valley, to be able to enjoy the sweet things we do in this valley and for the comfort and the many blessings which Thou has given us. We ask Thee to bless us with Thy Spirit tonight, to be able to talk about city businesses and be able to do the things which is right. We ask Thee to bless us as a nation to be able to heal and to be able to recover and move on. We ask Thee to also bless us with the moisture which we are in so desperately need of. We ask for Thy guiding hand to be with us continually. We pray in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We'll have a roll call.
Sorry, I was texting Justin to make sure he could hear.
Okay.
Are you unmuted, Justin? Aisha, are you here? Kevin?
Yes. Here.
He's here.
Okay.
Mike?
Here.
Russell?
Here.
Rondi?
Here.
And Sam?
Here.
Okay, first item on the agenda, approve the minutes from the December 8th, 2020 regular city council meeting held at 6:30.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Kevin and seconded by Russell to approve the minutes of the regular city council meeting held December 8th, 2020 at 6:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is the December 22nd, 2020 regular city council meeting held at 6:30.
Or 6 p.m. meeting?
6:30. The regular city council meeting.
Well, I cheated. I've had these all day, so I think through them.
You done teaching Adam?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes of December 22nd, 2020, 6:30 regular meeting.
I'll second that motion. Comment if there's any questions.
Any questions, Kevin? Okay, I have a motion by Sam, seconded by Rondi, to approve the minutes of the December 22nd, 2020, regular city council meeting held at 6:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is the December 22nd, 2020, public hearing that was held with the school district concerning the land.
Is it just down all the way down?
Yes, it is down.
So it is. Is it all good?
Yes.
Then I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes of 22nd, December 2020, 6 p.m., public hearing.
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion by Russell and seconded by Kevin to approve the minutes of the public hearing held December 22nd, 2020, at 6 p.m. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is approval of adjustments, transaction register dated 12/1/2020 to 12/31/2020, in the amount of a negative $502.22.
So, Jeannie, do people call or come into the city over 13 cents?
You'd be surprised. What one is that?
Well, I'm not going to mention names.
But it doesn't say what it is for, like...
It's a franchise. It's on a net meter credit, so you go down to...
A meter credit or franchise fee.
So we manually have to put in the net meter credits. So those that have, like, the solar that are doing net metering with us, we have to go in and manually enter their credit. So that's what that is.
I just see there's a lot of them on here. Less than 20 cents or less than 50 cents.
There's actually a few on net metering.
Yeah, you don't get watched or set up during the...
It's all on the net meter.
You just credit toward that, towards the bill, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And it shows up on the transaction.
It's not like we're cutting them a check for that.
Well, I know that. I'm just wondering if there's people that would really come in and complain about that.
Well, that wasn't somebody calling in and complaining. That was just something we do every month. We do a credit back.
I've let it be for 2 years now, I wondered.
Why they ask?
I know a couple of them that come here that would.
That's why I said you'd be surprised.
Anybody have any more questions?
No.
And I'll make a motion that we approve the transaction register from 12/01/2020 to 12/31/2020, in the amount of a negative $502.22.
I'll second that motion. By Russell.
Okay. I have the motion by Russell and seconded by Rondi to approve the transaction register dated 12/1/2020 to 12/31/2020, in the amount of a negative $502.22. Roll call.
Justin?
Yes.
Okay, Kevin?
Yes.
Russell?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
And Sam?
Yes.
Okay, next is the approval of claims dated 12/19/2020 to 1/8/2021, in the dollar amount of $541,234.18.
Page 5, I have some questions on batteries. From Chris, all it says battery for farm truck.
That's your fire department truck.
Right.
They're farm batteries that went in the fire trucks.
Okay. They're calling them a farm battery?
That's what Express Auto... Yeah, that's what it said on the Express Auto deal.
Farm truck battery.
Because I looked at it too earlier.
Harry, it's not even on there, fire, but it must have shown up on there.
I'm sure. Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh, this says freight liner.
Well, one of them was for the snowplow, and one of them was for the fire truck.
Yeah.
So this attorney fees here from Kevin Daniels, the amount of $6,600, was that all on the, for the property with the school?
No, it's actually multiple things.
So it's the other little business?
Yeah.
Because he did attend our council meeting a couple months ago to help us out with that. He's been working on several projects for the school, so it's not for the city, I mean, it's actually been several different projects.
Okay.
Part of the bank deal.
I know they're expensive.
You gotta have them.
Yeah.
Gotta have them. That's for sure.
I had a question, Jeanine, on this micro-marketing, page nine. I don't quite understand.
That's for the library. It's just easier to put collection help than to go through and write every single book that they bought from them. So it's just, they're just updating their collection up at the library.
Okay.
Shane, is your supply line at 55, 4,142?
55?
Yeah.
No, 55 is irrigation.
Oh, or 53.
What are we buying irrigation parts for this year?
What is that?
You got three-inch schedule 40 couplings.
Is that from?
Easy span coupling.
What page are you on?
Page seven.
Is that?
Well, one of them is just out of the public works line, so it pulls out of all the public works.
Well, if you're looking at the bottom ones, what I'm looking at, that one at the bottom. Because there's a whole bunch of.
Coupling and easy span.
There's a whole bunch of stuff for the Aspen Village stuff.
And it comes out of a different one?
Yeah.
This is something bought on the 10th of December. Because it's three-inch FCH40, so that's coupling.
So it's slip-by-slip coupling. Schedule 40.
From where? Horseshoe?
Horseshoe. And it's got a three-inch easy span coupling.
Other than a couple springs, or do you think at the cemetery, because the line was in the way?
Three-inch probably.
Could have been one of those.
I think it was. Yeah, it was, yeah.
We're ready for a motion.
Jimmy, any other questions, Sam?
No.
Did you find that, Jeanine? It was, Jeanine was looking at it in place.
Yeah, it was a 10th of December. There's a date on it.
You're the one that had it, Colter?
Careful with it, but.
It says it was a repair. Where it says job, it says repair for irrigation, but, you know.
I don't know what that is.
It's not for Aspen Village up there, is it?
No.
No.
I see some of them were.
Horseshoe Mountain, I barely get a letting them know the project, so I know what line to take them out of. And it just doesn't.
33 bucks.
Yeah, I'm sure something.
Yes.
I mean, I was just walking by right there, but I don't know how to do something.
Yeah, I think I was gonna say the same thing.
All right, pretty fine on it.
I think we're ready.
I
Ready?
Yep.
I'll make a motion to approve the invoice register dated 12/19/2020 through 1/8/2021 in the amount of $541,234.18.
Second. Yeah, the motion by Kevin and seconded by Russell to approve the register claims, register invoice dated 12/19/2020 to 1/8/2021 in the dollar amount of $541,234.18. Roll call.
Justin.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Russell.
Yeah.
Rondi.
Yes.
And Sam.
Yes.
We have no requisitions tonight. No requisitions tonight. It's a good night.
Only the first council meeting, we're saving them.
So next item on our agenda is Julie Reese and discussion action on the snow cone shack. Come on up.
Is that okay?
Yep.
It was like, my worst nightmare. Can I take it off?
Please.
Yeah, see down. Anyway, okay. So we have a snow cone shack at the side of our property. We put together a petition to keep it there. I have 821 signatures and 359 comments from people throughout the community. I'll give you this in just a second for you guys to look at. I also have a letter from a lot of the employees, their parents that wrote a letter just saying their experience with their kids being there. And then I have letters from every single one of my neighbors that directly affected them. One of my neighbors here tonight that it really affects her, anybody, to support keeping it there. I have four little bosses over there that actually own the shack. I just, you know, manage. So we wrote this up and I just kind of wanted to read it to you because clearly I can't think straight, so. Last year, we found this starving shack and immediately knew we had to bring it to this community. We came to you, proposed our plan, and got it approved. We had two purposes for the shack: to teach young girls life skills and give back to the community. To put this all in perspective, we offer our snow cones for $1. You can also get like a $2 or $3 one, but you know, our biggest seller is a dollar. This was not a massive money maker, and to be honest, it was the biggest pain for me. But again, this business wasn't about me. It was for my girls and the community. And the girls that work there, as well as people who live in the community. Last summer, when this world was kind of crazy, we offered a safe haven for kids in this area. I can't tell you how many groups of friends would come and sit at the tables and enjoy some sense of normalcy. We had kids come down who spent all day cleaning their doll to earn their dollar to reward themselves with a shaved ice. The young and the old enjoyed it just the same. We also gave back. We took a day to feed the elementary teachers. Cops never paid. We gave snow cones to the nurses, and sometimes those kids that would stop by with only 30 cents, we would always feed them too. I know there was an issue with the age of the girls in the shack. My issue with that is that this is a small town. We have young boys working on the farm. How is it any different than these girls work in an air-conditioned shack where they work only about 8 hours for an entire week because we have so many employees to break it up? To point out, the girls that work in the shack this year will be 14 years and older, which is the legal age to run the ice machine under adult supervision. I also hear people talk all the time about how worthless this next generation is. This kind of gets me. How none of them want to work, and that they're always on their phones, and they don't know how to communicate with others, right? I actually don't think the problem is the generation. I think the problem is all of us. Because we take it from them, and then we expect them to just know how to do it. They won't ever know how to work unless we step up and teach them. Each girl in that shack that worked for me was given responsibilities. They had a schedule, and if they couldn't come to work, they had to find someone to cover for them. I was always in communication with their moms, and so if they needed to, I would always step in and work. But first, as parents, we would sit back and watch them take care of it. They also had to arrive on time, and each girl in the shack learned how to count back money, which is truly a lost skill among many people. They also had to communicate with their customers. which is kind of funny. There was a little girl one day who opened the window of the snow cone shack, and she's like, "What do you want?" And I was like, "You know, sometimes the way you talk to people, you know, is good customer service." And it was really cute. At the end of the day, she come into the house and she says, "I made more money in tips today than I've ever made." Because she, you know, was communicating better rather than a, "What do you want?" But that, it was really sweet. I love running businesses, and I love more than anything teaching young girls that they too can do whatever it is they want. I am beyond proud of every single girl who worked there. They worked so hard, they worked together, and they gave this community a great place to be. I also know that the real issue here is the shack's location. I put it there for a reason. I love employees of mine, and I especially love my girls. And I would go all ways to keep them safe. I never left the shack unattended. If I had to leave, we had like a neighborhood watch program happening. My cute neighbors would take turns watching the shack. They were never without eyes on them, and we also set up several cameras just in case. Having the shack at the side of my house kept them safe. The shack is located 26 feet from the edge of the road. It's on a corner lot. There is ample parking for all customers, and not one of my neighbors have any complaints. They all support us doing this, and each of them, like I said, have wrote letters to keep the shack right where it's at. I'm here tonight because of 4 feet. The shack literally sticks out 4 feet. I understand that you're mad because it's in the city's right-of-way. However, I will not be given names or examples because I don't want anyone else to have to come and do this. However, I do challenge you to drive around town and look at all the city right-of-ways that are blocked. There are residents as well as businesses that have blocked the right-of-way. My question for you is this. Why is it that those businesses are up and running and their business license have been renewed and the city right-of-way is still blocked, but our glorified lemonade stand is only open 2.5 months of the year and it's taken a lot of heat? Let's see, to sum everything up, we just want to continue to serve this community. We want to provide a fun, friendly place for everyone to come and enjoy a yummy treat and catch up with their neighbors. It really did provide an escape, and our kids desperately need that. It also taught these girls how to work, what it feels like to work and save and buy something, and all the pride that comes from that. So I truly beg you to please let us keep this going. So I do have 4 girls. Are you okay if they said something really quickly?
Sure.
Come here, let me talk. Do you want to say something? Oh, we've got it. The boss. Okay, what are you going to say? What does it say? You got to say it loud. I want to keep the snow cone shack. Okay, will you come up and read that?
Hello.
You read it already. We read it in a second. Okay, hurry.
Okay, so when I worked and on the Peachy Paradise, it was super fun to work there, and I loved every second of it. It taught me how to work hard and how to use money. I had to set it up in the morning, and if I was working a night shift, I cleaned it up. The shack taught you how to manage your time so you can make it to night games. It taught me how to do a good job and not just rush through. People would show up when it was a cold rainy day we thought no one would, but we had lines of people outside. We got paid, and that was one of my most favorite parts. I was able to see that the harder I worked, the better I got paid. It also showed me how to save my money so I can get a nice car. I'm so glad that I got the opportunity to work here, and I hope we can keep it open for years to come. Okay?
Cool. Yeah.
The snow cone shack is a great place to be. Many families come each and every day. They sometimes ride their bike a lot. It is a great way to spend time with your families. We hear people communicating and talking to each other. We hear laughs and stories that make us smile. It gives parents a break to sit down and talk with one another. Kids go play in the yard after they finish their yummy snow cones. It is an everyday thing. When it is hot, families gather together under an umbrella and talk about stories and funny things. It makes me happy to see people smile, and I hope I'll be able to again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
send out emails. I really want to keep the snow cone shack. I love the snow cone shack. Do you guys agree? Thanks for coming to it.
Can I be deep with you?
Yes, you can. Thank you, girls, for coming up, because that takes a lot of courage.
That's right.
I don't really understand people that, because some of them are longer, so I just printed them off. Does that make sense? So these are just the longer comments that didn't fit in this space. And then those are the letters from the neighbors and then the workers.
So I'd like to say, start off that, me, in my opinion, I've been down there with my kids. My kids enjoyed it. Those are things, in my opinion, that make small towns small towns. And if you do for one, you gotta do for everybody, in my opinion. So I know there's a huge problem with right-of-ways. I think the snow cone shack would be the least of my concern, in my opinion. I mean, there's a lot more stuff on the right-of-ways, such as big trucks, different things like that. To me, it appears that's more of a hazard. That's just my opinion.
I
agree.
So if it's 4 feet in the right-of-way?
No, it's the whole thing's in the right-of-way.
The whole thing, so the shack is only 4 feet wide. Does that make sense? So so it's on our property, but it's 4 feet wide, so it sticks out 4 feet on the right-of-way.
No, it's 100% on the city right-of-way.
Yeah, so it's 4 feet. Our shack is 4 feet wide. And so the 4 feet is the 4 feet
100% city property.
City.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Is that a better term?
Okay. Yeah, so all we're asking them to do is move it back to the property line inside their property.
Can I explain that issue though? So my husband's not home ever. He's doing his apprenticeship program. He never seen. I can't physically move a sprinkler system. Our rock wall. It kind of like goes up in the grass area, right? So we'd have to take out our rock wall, move our sprinkler system in order to accommodate, to push it back the 4 feet for it to be on our property.
Well, I agree with Justin. Justin says, his comment is that there are a few other businesses in operation that are conducting business in the right of way, the hardware store and Far West. We need to be consistent.
The hardware store.
Yeah,
all them U-Hauls, all that stuff, all city right away.
That's private road.
No, it touches the roads.
No.
The U-Haul touch the road.
Between the hardware store and the hospital, that's a private road. It's not a city road.
No, we want to go around the dentist office.
By the Christensen painting.
You know where they've got the U-Hauls now, Mike?
They fenced it all in.
No.
They've got U-Hauls all on the outside of the fence, between the road and the fence.
Okay, I know they've got some between the hardware store and the hospital, or they used to.
Yeah, everything's been moved now to the outside over on Christensen Glass side.
And then it's in the right-of-way.
And it's all in the right-of-way.
That's what Justin says also. The hardware store has about 20 U-Haul trailers on the south side in the city right-of-way.
On the west side. Be on the west side.
Some of these streets are different. Like, for example, the road I live on.
There's no way you could do
it. It's 26 feet from property line to property line.
Yeah.
So I wonder, what does the property line look out there at the hardware store? Do they have the same right of way on that road as we do on the streets here in town?
No, they're different out there. But
Coulter, is that a city road or is that a private road?
That's a city road.
To Piccadilly Old Plant?
No, it turns.
Goes over to the dentist.
Turns and goes over to the dentist over the street to 117. So that is the city road.
My city road, there is no right of way. So
that's a problem that we're trying to correct.
So, you know, each street could be different. Yeah.
Well, and they can, and they are.
I just rode around town today with my wife. It's amazing how much garbage we got, cars and everything else. I mean, and it's not for a good cause like this is. We was elected to handle problems like this. And to do it, I mean, we can sit here and rationalize and everything else, but this is really a great little project these little guys got going. And I'm kind of with Sam. It ought to be some way. Can we lease that city property to them for a dollar? Can we do something there?
It costs us more in attorney fees to come up with the lease than it would be worth it.
I'd bet if we just forgot about it, nothing had ever.
How many people really have a problem with this? Have you had a lot of calls? Is it one?
What it is, we're trying to enforce it. Police officers are starting to enforce a lot of the other cars parked along the side of the road and everything else. And so again, it's like, will we issue a business license specifically to something not on private property? Then everybody that we go to site, we've got the same problem coming back to us. So how did you allow a business license to exist knowingly it was on your right of way and you gave them a business license? That's where we come into that very gray area.
However, they should be able to do a variance on that.
But then again, like you say, you've got to start somewhere. You're gonna have to go around town. There's people with carports, truck drivers.
There is.
Other businesses with stuff scattered.
We've got a mess throughout town.
Somewhere, but why did we get it right here first?
Because of the business license. That's where it comes from.
So the other people don't need a business license, not running a business, but they still have stuff that block your view. That's really a hazard.
Right. Yep.
I'll maybe interject. I've been on the city council. This will be my seventh year. One of the things that we have really struggled with is our zoning issues. There's so many infractions in Mount Pleasant City. And I've read a lot of the comments, and they point to the fact that there's all of these infractions around the town, and we're very well aware of those. And the thing that you need that ordinance enforcement officer, and you need a zoning person that goes out and checks dimensions and specifications before someone builds anything. We have recently just put somebody, a member of the zoning, planning and zoning commission that we have in town, has recently just accepted the responsibility to go and make sure when people are building something that they've met their requirements for distances and elevations so that they can get into the sewer. All those things apply. This council has run up against all of these. We're trying to fix that, and so far, very little has happened, but we feel like we've finally made some ground here. And what we'd like to do is, there's all these ordinance violations and code violations and all of that that are taking place. And we finally started, and now that we've finally started, now you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. And what I would propose that I think the city would, we all want your business, okay? We're all on the same page. We all want the city streets cleaned up. We really do. There isn't a person out there that would like to see these streets clean. And I think your business could be great. And I think that you can use that city right away for parking, just like everybody else does. People come to visit their homes, they park in the city right away, right? And a lot of times people leave their own cars in the city right away. And the reality of it is, we're trying to fix that problem. And what I'd like to maybe suggest is that we use what resources we got even to help you move it back. But that way, it's a win-win. The city can maintain our rights, the things we're trying to do. We're trying to clean this town up. Believe it or not, we are trying. But I'll tell you, jumping through all the hoops and putting out the money it takes to enforce stuff is not easy.
I understand.
We're just, our hands are tied in a lot of situations, but we have succeeded in cleaning up a lot of areas. We really have. And yours isn't an area that we're worried about cleaning it up, but to maintain the integrity of the ordinances and the right-of-ways, then that's what we're up against. If we let this happen, then we have to say, we have to let a lot of them happen.
So you promised me that if you deny this tonight, right, that you will go talk to those businesses and get them moved tomorrow or revoke their business license?
We'll go talk, I'm gonna go talk to Horseshoe myself, I will. I didn't realize it moved out there.
I don't think it's a matter of denying it. I think it's something that we need to give further discussion as a council. We don't have to make a decision tonight, but I'm just saying that we could, is it the amount of work that needs to be done to relocate it? Is that your concern?
Yeah, I can't do it. I mean, I don't know how to move a sprinkler system.
There should be, I mean, really, there should be.
People do know how to do it, it's, not that big of a.
Right, but cost-wise too, I mean.
Basically affordable type structure.
$100, you know?
I said, there should be a variance. It should be for a temporary type structure.
There is, it's food trucks where they're on wheels.
So if I put this on a trailer, I can have it?
It'd have to move, that's the same, the only thing that's allowed on city right-of-way with a business license are food trucks.
So if I put it on a trailer?
Which moves, which are here for 4 hours, you know, and then move to another location the next day or something like that. Those are allowed in the city limits.
If they have permission from the owner of the property, I believe they can stay on through on that, don't they?
I don't know, I'd have to look at the ordinance on it for sure.
I think that's the thing. We've got to either find a loophole. When we start creating variances and allowing this and that, then you're back to square one. Then you end up with all of this stuff that some of it's desirable, but most of it is not. Most of it creates a problem.
And there is reasons for variances too.
There is. And I think we got a good business here. I think we, good people. I think if we have to put it on wheels or whatever the easiest solution is, but I think that we ought to have further discussion so we're not crossing lines. I really think that our objective is to have, you want this town to be just as neat and clean as any, and we got so many problems out there. And we have. We've got the zoning person in place now. We're going that direction. We've talked about an ordinance enforcement officer that would actually go out and issue citations. That's their responsibility, to know the zoning and the ordinances and so forth. So it's not that, there's not one reason other than the fact that it's infraction on the right-of-way, and whether it's going to cause problems or not, that's yet to be determined. But the fact of the matter is, it's not on your property.
Right.
And so we've got to come up with a solution that works for both parties. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
And I think with a little bit of research, I think we can come up with a solution.
Just drive around town, like you said, you should all get together and drive around town.
I just have to drive up my road.
We've been driving, yeah.
Three little shack, there's gravel, and they've got to look nice, and then you drive around to the other place. Truck driver, I mean, farmers got equipment that looks horrible, but nobody complains about that. But we don't hear of it.
We don't hear of it. We've got two or three that we've got in court systems right now that we're real close to being able to.
This is kind of personal to you, James, because it's family and things.
Yeah.
But we had a gentleman in here last year, and we wouldn't let him build on his property because it was, what, 6 feet or?
60 feet.
60 feet.
60 feet.
Wide.
Wide, and it didn't meet the ordinances.
Right.
And Kevin makes a very good point. We have been working hard to clean these things up.
Yeah.
And him giving the offer that I'll come over and talk to that sprinkler system. And I'm sure there's others that will too. There's got to be some kind of compromise that we can work out here where we don't jeopardize the integrity of the city, what we're trying to do, and clean this town up. I mean, it's a mess.
It is, I agree.
And there's so much, where do you start? We've got people that's been parking up in front of your house for 60 years.
A hundred for a little teeny, that's gorgeous, you know. That's what I say, we see you drive outside the town, there's a fence that's made out of little slats that's 10 foot tall. I thought 6 foot was a limit, you know, you see stuff like that, and you get harassed over a little beautiful shack.
Yeah, and my hope with it all too is that if the city's gonna do it, we gotta step up and do it. I mean, that's more of a point, there's a, just one instance, there's a person that I know that's close in my neighborhood that's been running without a business license for 3 years and nothing's happened to them. Nothing. And they continue to do what they're doing.
But we have a bit of the fact that they knew it was there to begin with.
These are.
It was good, and then all of a sudden they get a complaint.
My point is.
It's not good anymore.
If we're gonna do it, it's gonna go, I mean, we gotta do it if it's gonna be done.
That's the very thing I said to my wife today, you know. I don't know, a $50 fine don't mean anything to anybody.
No.
But if it was $500, I think so. I mean, these are things we gotta work through.
Right.
And we're trying to.
I appreciate that, 1,000%. I completely hear what you're saying. Like I said, I'm willing to do what we can, I just, I don't feel.
Like I said, I'd be willing to come over and help you.
You are too kind.
And I know you're bad, I work right to the side of you. And we've worked this out.
Yeah.
Can't we get it?
Yeah, you know, it's just silly to have.
You know what's worst about this tonight?
We're probably your second.
We wanna see this happen, we really do. And we don't, and the last thing we want is somebody to come along and say, and criticize you for being on the city's property.
Right.
So, you know, we wanna avoid all of those kinds of confrontations and all that kind of stuff. So let's work it out so that you can continue to run your business. You be thinking about what you need to do, and we'll be thinking about what we can do to help you get it done.
If it's as simple as throwing it on a trailer though, I mean, that's pretty simple, you know? Corey could do it, oh, you know what I mean? It's just where he's gone, it just eliminates a lot of help.
Just a question now, on the trailer, can we leave it there for 2 months and then back it in the driveway during the winter months? You know, because once the kids go, it's the couple, it's 2 months. You know, 2.5 months.
Right.
And then they shut it down, they don't do it after school weekends. Put it on trailer and back it in the driveway, take it down to my field.
We need to look at that ordinance and see exactly what it says.
We come up, you know, and some of them last long, you know, stay a long time.
Right.
Just different, you know, different situations like that. Like stay outside of town on Fifth South or Fifth North, there's car portals. And it's permanent.
Yeah.
But you look at all these things, and that's what we say, so if we do put it on a trip, can we leave it for 2 months, or can we get out and back it in every night? Unplug the power and kind of silly, where it's so, I mean, truly, 4 feet. And I know, I understand you guys' situation you're in, but it was good at first, now all of a sudden it's not, when there's so much other out there that we could be looking at. It's trash, it's horrible, like you say. And you got somebody gonna be working on that. But for now, could something like that work? Because I can build a little trailer and have it off the ground, just because we gotta keep it low.
That's what I'm saying, that's be your drawback. You put down a trailer, then the tripping hazard for the kids getting up to.
Well, see, that's the thing.
The snow shack too.
Now we got the tripping, the kids falling off the little rock ledge.
What if we took a section of fence out and put it in the vacuum? And it would be the ledge.
Take all that too.
There's still a ledge.
And it's not as bad as the crown.
Yeah, I just haven't noticed it.
You know, it's a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I don't have, doing the chainsaw takes care of a fence, but, you know.
What months do you like to be open?
We only open, so the day school gets out, and then we close the night before school, before, like, so school goes back the next day, we close that night before. So it's just the period that the school is out, is all that works.
So basically Memorial Day to Labor Day, be rough.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, a little bit before Labor Day, yeah, you got it.
See, is there a variance for part-time business, is there something?
We need to look at the ordinance as 100% to see.
There is, because there's the Harwood Farms that only comes for that amount of time too.
Yeah, they...
I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but I know there is one.
Well, I just like to talk about the good things that happen.
We got a few months before you really got it.
Oh, these young people got to see and got to be aware of them.
Okay, oh, thank you. This is nerve-wracking, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Julie.
You know, I appreciate the people that will come and bring these kind of situations to our attention. It just enforces our desire to take care of these other problems, because they do exist, and it just gives other people an excuse to create more infractions. And so we really do have to work on getting that resolved, so that there's no questions about it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, yeah. Things like this, like Kevin says, there's things like this that push us to do, and
yeah.
We got to work harder doing the things that we're allowed to do.
Yep. Okay, that could be an ongoing issue then, we'll put it. Continuing on. Next item we have, Zach from Six County coming to explain the resolution from a month ago we went past, and there was lots of questions about it.
Well, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Wildlife. What has it actually worded? The Six County, you got to remind me how exactly how you had it.
So we're calling it the 2020 Regionals, Six County Regional Pre-Disaster Hazard Mitigation Plan. Kind of a mouthful, but just to kind of give some background on what it is, this is a FEMA required document to access two sources of federal funding. One pot of money is in the event of a disaster, that let's say a big flood came through Mount Pleasant and you needed some help rebuilding public infrastructure like roads, water lines, power lines. There is a pot of money to help with that. And a second pot of money for things that happened before, well, in order to mitigate against things like that. So, you know, instead of spending money to clean up the town after a flood, you could put in like drainage and culverts and things that would mitigate against flood damage.
Preventative maintenance.
Preventative measures, exactly. And so this plan, which was spearheaded by Six County, but in conjunction with Mount Pleasant, we worked with the mayor and with public safety to make sure that it was actually useful to Mount Pleasant. We put this together, just did it on a region level, so that way we could help multiple towns and multiple counties. So with that, does anybody have any questions about it?
So I was kind of probably given a lot of the questions.
Okay.
State mitigation, we have a contract with them for fire.
Right.
Basically, what I was curious on this Six County one, the state requires us to do so much mitigation a year, so much dollars per a match, basically, that we have to contribute so much each year. What does this entail exactly? Is there certain requirements that we have to do as far as maybe pre-mitigation measures that we're supposed to be doing?
So the only thing you have to do in order to be a participant in this plan at this point is adopt it. After you adopt it, there's no obligation placed on the community. If you adopt it, Mount Pleasant doesn't assume any liabilities, you don't have any requirements, it is just merely a planning tool and an access to funding tool. To give you an example, I actually worked with Mayor and with Dave and the school district to actually help get an application in place to help out at the school district with some of their mitigation efforts. Mount Pleasant is sponsoring it. But other than sponsoring it because of the way that FEMA's requirements are, there's no obligation to Mount Pleasant. All the funding's coming from the school district, and if it's successful, the other portion of the project is coming from FEMA.
And so that's what I just curious, because I mean, sounds like the state, if you don't do their mitigation, you don't get the funds.
Yeah, no.
So that's...
These goals, so the way that the plan works is we identify natural hazards that are in the area, fire, flood, severe weather, earthquakes, you know, anything that could be a potential natural hazard. And then we worked with Mount Pleasant to create strategies to help mitigate against those things. So like wildfire, for example, we talked about working to help ensure that you guys have a good LUI code. And then if you identify projects, and I'm also working with State Forestry, But working with the state foresters to try and identify really good projects that would do things like protect watersheds. But FEMA only requires that you identify them. And then, you know, if you do them, great. If you don't, it's not a big deal.
Do I understand this, that by accepting this resolution, it joins with six county region in order to secure funds, federal funds, whether it be FEMA or whatever, if we're part of this, it makes it so that we can make application to receive those funds because of, we're part of this group, or is that part of it, or?
That's exactly it. That's literally the only thing that this plan does for you.
Okay.
And the only thing that that's the most useful part of this plan. I mean, like, we love to see good projects come out of the area, and one of the things that we're working on, like with forestry, fire, and state lands, hey, I remember the name, is trying to identify projects that would benefit multiple communities. We're looking at a lot of watershed protection, especially with the last fire season. You know Matt Christensen?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm working with Matt and Jason Torgerson to try and develop these plans and strategies, some of which were supplied by, you know, your towns like Mount Pleasant.
So going into that too, I know a lot of it, when you do get a natural disaster, if you ain't got certain people on certain levels that have had certain FEMA training, you won't get funds either. Does this have any play in that, or does that, I mean, is it written that way that, because if you don't have like your ICS 700 or an ICS 100, your different classes from FEMA, people have to be certified in that. Do you know, does this tie in with all that too?
So it does. The way that the state of Utah runs their FEMA, you know, kind of their coordination, there's a gentleman in the region by the name of Kevin Hamaker, who actually is the coordinating arm between state emergency management, FEMA itself, and local communities. So as long as he's around, you won't have to worry about those types of things, you know, whether certification or not, except you need to adopt this plan in order to be covered by FEMA in the event of a disaster. That's what this plan is for.
I would be under the understanding that it's groups like this that can help our people get certified and offer the training things. I mean, that's why they have a collective, they got the whole six county region. They're gonna help us get, I'm assuming this, I'm wanting it clarified, would they not help us get people certified and help organize so that we did have a circle of resources there among the county?
So before I answer that one, let me ask a kind of a question for me. How familiar with Six County are you guys?
I'm familiar with it.
Okay. So something like that specifically helping get certified, we couldn't do that, but what we could do is get you in touch with the resources that would help with the certification.
Well, if there was a law that required us to receive FEMA funds or whatever, surely we're sitting here with a part of this, they're going to be helping all of these counties recognize that they need to make these certifications.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think they would be the arm that would notify us that we need to get these things in place so that we do qualify for those funds.
Yes.
Without that affiliation, we don't have anybody to remind us.
Yeah, that's the role of Six County, is to be the regional resource that you can call on to help with things like this. Or
Six County, the Six County Coalition of Governments assists a lot of people in a lot of things,
not just
disaster things, but heat assistance and all kinds of different things. They come together and have secure funding, whether it's federal or state funding, to help communities like Mount Pleasant, rural communities, offer assistance where they otherwise wouldn't be able to offer assistance.
Hey, can I get you to come give a testimonial so that way I can use it as advertising?
I am familiar with that.
Yeah.
That was a lot of good.
That's what we're here for, is to be a resource for you guys and to make sure that you can develop your town the way that you want to develop it.
So who's the six counties?
So we provide services in Juab, Millard, Paiute, San Pete, Sevier, and Wayne County.
So they're all rural counties?
Yeah.
We are
our neighbors.
And we do the surrounding counties. It was based off of a 1970s declaration, but truthfully, the counties that we serve are all very interconnected, and we're here to make sure that...
They all have pretty much a lot of the same needs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, listening to your discussion about code enforcement, that's one I've heard a lot and helped out a lot of different communities with as well.
I have a question. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Does accepting this FEMA proposal subject Mount Pleasant to any other federal regulations?
No. No, the only thing that this does is open up costs of funding and cover you in the event. It's like an insurance policy for the city. I mean, like, if something happens and the city is part of this, then things for, like, roads, water lines, this building, FEMA has funding to replace those. And that's separate than, you know, private. You know, if something happens, you know, FEMA has a separate pot for private helping, like homes and
so there's
businesses.
No other regulation associated with this?
No.
Federal or otherwise?
Nope. The only thing that this obligates you to is if you want funding, come get it. If you don't, you're fine. I know, it's one of those like mysterious things that actually meant that actually works that way, but that's really how it is.
So he's coming to answer those questions.
Right.
He come to answer those questions.
I'll have that in all December.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm glad you came. I mean,
I should have brought us up to date because Kevin was just reminding me that we went to adopt this and there were so many questions back in December that we wanted Zach to come and explain them a little more because obligations like has been brought up, you know, is there any consequence to the city or what's our stipulations to receive the standard? I think that was our big questions, if there was any concerns there.
We just wasn't familiar enough with what the resolution was.
And I'm more than happy to be here tonight to help answer those questions.
Thank you for coming and making that clear.
So is there a board
resolution that we have that
somebody representing from each city or who decides who does?
So the way that six county works is every county commissioner sits on our general board along with one appointed mayor from each county. Until recently it was Mayor Taylor up in Fairview, but he just resigned due to personal health issues. And so we're wondering who's going to be the new San Pete representative, mayor representative on our board. But right now it's Commissioner Scott Bartholomew. And then our literal byline is we work for you guys. You know, if the mayor has a question and he's come and I've come up here and we sat down and talked with Dave, with Mont, and with the mayor to answer any questions. One way that I kind of spin it is we act like city staff for you guys. You know, helping you answer questions and helping you access funding and programs so that way you can be doing what you want to do with your community.
Now, I asked that question because now, do you get the funds? Does the six county coalition get the funds and disperse them? Or how does it work with the grants or what?
So something like this one, it would be a direct contract between the state and Mount Pleasant. Because of the way that FEMA's funding works, they always give it to the state first with the contract that says you can only give it to Mount Pleasant, and then it would be between you and the State Office of Emergency Management. But it would be subject to all federal regulations if you got a grant. If you didn't get a grant, or if you weren't applying for a project, then there's no obligation that comes to it. So we act as just kind of like a broker between you and FEMA via state hazard, the state emergency management office.
Yeah, I would just wonder if the funds went to a certain place and then they were dispersed, because sometimes the north end of the county don't get taken care of like the south end does.
Yeah, no, we don't, we're not involved in the funding stream in any way. There are certain programs that we administer that the funds do come through us, but those are the exception rather than the norm.
Shane, did you have a question?
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we have adopted this before.
We have.
Yeah.
We have.
Quite a few times. And yeah. So it's kind of,
but nobody ever asked
just questions. I have.
Yeah.
I didn't know exactly how it all worked.
Like I said, we were to adopt it back in the first city council meeting in December.
Yeah.
And there were so many questions that we tabled it until we could have Zach come answer those questions before we adopted it.
Yeah. So FEMA requires that this plan be updated every 5 years.
So that's what it is.
Yeah. So the last one was in 2015.
Yeah.
We just like to keep it up to date, so that way if there is an opportunity for a project to get federal funding,
you had a package of resolution.
I didn't have sent a lot of them as updated.
No, I think I've got to get my presentation. Don't stay here.
So is it on the tape or on the thing to adopt next?
Yes.
It is, actually.
The only thing is we had to change the resolution number. Because it was in 2020, and so this becomes our first resolution of 2021. The same wording and everything else, but we have to change the resolution. The resolution number is what we had to change. So if we adopt this tonight, which we've seen back in December, it becomes resolution 2021-01. So.
I'll make a motion to proceed with that and adopt the resolution.
Okay. Somebody want to second it?
I'll second it. I bet do a lot of seconding.
Okay, we have Sam making the motion and seconded by Russell to adopt the resolution number 2021-01, which is a resolution of Mount Pleasant City adopting the 2020 Six County Regional Pre-Disaster Hazardous Migration Plan. Roll call.
Okay. Justin?
Yes.
Okay. Kevin?
Yes.
Russell?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
And Sam?
Yes.
All right. Well, awesome. And if there's anything else that we can help out with, we do more than hazard mitigation. We also talk about infrastructure, project development, ordinance creation and development. Please feel free to give us a call. We're more than happy to come up here and help out.
Thank you so much for coming tonight and explaining those questions we had, and we'll get to sign it back to you.
Awesome. I'll just call Dave tomorrow and get a copy from him.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Thanks.
I have a question.
Okay.
Who's Russell?
Oh.
I haven't heard you call that my whole life.
Okay.
Better than some names.
I just wondered.
Thank you.
Thanks, Zach. Just to throw you off.
I've never heard you call Russell.
Well, there's George.
George Russell.
Okay. Well, you've been here long enough. What's your handle?
Well, that's the animal.
Shane, you want to present the strategic plan and goals?
Yep. Okay.
You need to get them home. You can get up and leave anytime you like.
Okay.
You want to go, you can go.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good night.
I think it was about that time for them little ones out there.
Yep.
Thank you. It's getting close to my bedtime.
Stay tuned.
Getting up out of home.
9 o'clock, it's over.
You'll find out someday.
It's all about feeling good the next day.
Was Russell's birthday last week?
On the 9th.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
Happy birthday.
I finally got old enough to drink.
Just because it hit in year 21 or what?
Yeah.
I only remember because we share the same birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Coulter.
Happy birthday to you.
You like
who? Me, Steve.
Really?
Yeah.
You're on the 9th too, huh? The 9th.
Yeah. Legends were born that day.
Which legend we don't know, huh?
Good legends and bad legends.
Okay, if you had the audacity to ask Mark how old he was.
72.
Really? Oh, good. You're just a pup. You're young, 72.
Yeah. Oh, on the outside.
Yeah.
Do you want to move over there, Sam? It might be easier.
I'm good.
I got it right here. Do you need something else to slide underneath it?
Can you see that right there?
That's when you quit wiggling it.
Right there?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so what
I'm trying to light up. You ready?
Yeah. So what we have going on, I'm okay if you guys kind of, I'm a little long winded. I told the soldier to cut me off here and back in. No longer than a half an hour. Hopefully I'm done before then. So.
Hearing
something? You got 27 minutes? Okay, I get a little long winded sometimes. That's kind of blurry, isn't it?
No, oh, you need glasses.
There's
focus. The only thing we can't read is that fine print on the right side there.
Okay, this is our, wish I could get that so it's not as blurry, but. That's worse. Okay, so what we got going on, as you know, we're working on our impact fees. We did get those, our capital outlay projects back. What needs to happen? So now we're going to be meeting with ICPE on what kind of projects we need to do in the next few years and base these impact fees on. They got some good plans for us. Obviously, we're growing. We picked up more connections this year than we have in the last 8 years combined.
Wow.
It has been crazy, especially for the situation that we've been in. So we definitely have seen a substantial amount of growth. And as you know, it was a transformer that failed this year because of growth and COVID. And so it's definitely been an interesting year. And so this is the time that we have to start putting our heads together and preparing for the future, which we've been doing the whole time through. But I believe it's time to update our plan and bring it up to today's standards and into the future. So hopefully this makes sense and we kind of go through it. We kind of met with UAMPS, Utah Associated Municipal Power Systems, and Hometown Connections. And there was us, Washington City, Brigham City. We sat down. We was the only ones in UAMPS during this time that wanted to do the strategic plan. We knew this would be a perfect time for us because of the whole situation we've been in with the substantial amount of growth, and I think it's just we're just going to see more. So we sat down and we did like five sessions, and there's myself and Dave and Natalie when she can make it, and I think the mayor went to a couple sessions with us trying to prepare this plan for these coming years. So
why
With that, we'll go ahead and get started with our vision statement. So our vision for Mount Pleasant City Power is to create a better life serving our citizens while honoring the past and preparing for the future. I believe we've always kind of had that implemented here in Mount Pleasant. So we kind of just stuck with kind of the same kind of vision statement that we've always had. Our mission statement, when it comes down, we safely provide reliable, environmentally friendly power at a competitive cost. As you look at our rates are actually some of the best rates in the state of Utah. We're doing real good for what we're dealing with compared to other utilities our size and some of the bigger utilities also. But as we go on throughout the next few years, we want to make sure we stay on top of these rates, and so we don't have to take that substantial climb when it comes down to it, as things get more expensive. Like that picture of our switch yard right there. We just completed our switch yard and our substation. A $3 million project right there. And if we would have had impact fees in place, we could have, at this time, I believe we could have paid for at least half of that switch yard and substation. And so we've missed out on some opportunities. By not having those impact fees in place, and so it's good to see them coming back. Our customers and our service crew, we have close to 2,090 residential customers. We stay in contact through them, through phone, email, text, website, Facebook, and our commercial customers, 202, agricultural 9, military 1. The other is pretty much city meters that we're in charge of. And then, so a total of 2376 meters. We're probably close to 20 right now, probably up to around 2400 meters. We got Corey Monk. Need to just leave it alone.
So those 12 meters, that include the subdivisions above down?
Yes, that's all the meters we have.
All the services.
Skyline, everything, yeah. We have close to 600 meters just out in the county. Well, probably 670 meters out in the county. So we got Corey Mock, the crew, Kyle Sorensen, Tyler Beasley, Cameron Perry, my foreman, and then myself on our crew. And these guys do a tremendous job, just like they did on New Year's, where we had that pole that got hit. I don't know if you guys seen that. We thought we would have to turn the power of half the town out on New Year's. But we was able to pull our heads together, and by keeping the power on, we was able to change that pole with the lines hot. And it takes a substantial amount of talent, and I commend these guys for doing that. Okay, what are our values? This is what we're focused on. These are our values that we try to implement here in the power department. Our core values are integrity. We ensure excellence and fairness in all our actions. We always do the right thing. Plays a big role in here in the way we serve. Safety. Safety is always a big one. In our line of work, it could be very dangerous. You're working from voltages up to 138,000 volts, clear down to 50 volts. So you got a huge range of voltages that you're working with from a transmission system clear down to a DC system in a hydro. And so safety plays a big factor. We take it very serious. Honesty.
I've always been told, if you're honest, you don't have to remember anything. So if you're honest and you always tell the truth, you know you're always good. So we want to keep that in our core values as we move on here in the power department. Environmentalism. We always want to keep that in mind. We've been trying to get, we got rid of all of our, what they call the bad oil PCBs in all of our transformers. They're all changed out now. They're all full of mineral oil right now. And so we're trying to move to be more cautious when it comes to the environment. Just like being involved in Horse Beat Wind Project, we actually went out, they did a study on our system, and this is kind of bad to say, but being in the Horse Beat Wind Project, and with the windmills, you can only kill so many birds a year. And so, when it comes to eagles and stuff like that, which they call a take permit. And so in order to offset that, they came down and evaluated our system, and they looked at some of our worst holes where the eagles, because they always come down here in the wintertime, down along this area right here. And they looked at some of our worst poles and says, if you guys retrofit these poles, we'll pay for it to help these eagles out. And we did. We had 15 poles that we had to retrofit. We finished that job, and now we have to go back each year, look at those poles and make sure, you know, all our retrofit kits are holding up and that we're not killing any birds. And so far we've been looking pretty good, so. So being environmentally friendly plays a big role. Positivity. We always want to, this plays a big thing when it comes to morale here in the city. You always want to be positive when you're working with your customers. And when you're working with your crew, I told my guys if I start getting ornery, if I start getting bossy, just slap me around a little bit and so to bring me back to the times and so we can work stuff together. When you have a bad attitude, things doesn't go right. Things don't go wrong. You always want to maintain that positive attitude when it comes to what you're doing. It says a good attitude is everything. By being happy and positive, you always have a great influence on someone, which is so true. Education. As the times change, just like I've been here for 20 years now, and I look back from the time we used to have to go out with a book and read meters, and to today's time where we don't even know what shutoffs for the month because it's all automated here in our office. And so we come a long way through automation and through technology, but we have to grasp those things as they come and not shy away from this technology. Embrace it because it's going to be here with us. And so we want to make sure the guys are educated in what they do. We don't have the luxury of having a sub-tech or a meter tech or a generation tech like other utilities do. So we do it all. We do our own substation. We do our own meter room. We do our own generation. So the guys are well-rounded. And that's what worries me about retention. Because these companies that come in here, they want a well-rounded lineman. And that's one of my biggest worries is they come and they look at these small town linemen and they know that they're able to pretty much survive out the road by doing it all. And so we bring all that together and we come to our core values. SWOT. Our strengths, our weaknesses, and our opportunities and threats. I won't go through all this because it's hard to see. I wish I could get this so it's not so blurry.
But our strengths, just to kind of point out kind of what I'm trying to get to, is our strengths, some of our strengths are some of our weaknesses. And some of our weaknesses can be our strengths. If you, and just to kind of show you, it describes some, is our strengths. We understand our distribution system and the integrity of the grid. We have a great safety record. Diverse portfolio. We just signed on to the steel solar project. So now we have steel, the steel solar, we got the wind, we got hydro, we have gas, natural gas, we got coal. We got this diverse portfolio, so we don't have all our eggs in one basket when things kind of come down to it. It's definitely going to be interesting to see what kind of happens with this next administration that's coming in. But the nice thing is that when we're looking into this carbon-free power project right now through UAMPS, both Republicans and Democrats are both on board when it comes down to it, because they know that is the way of the future. And I'm glad they kind of see that. And you can kind of see that through that that huge grant that UAMPS received for the Carbon Free Power Project from the Department of Energy,
which is nuclear.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then we just expound on our safety. You know, what we're trying to do on our safety, our workforce development, our operational excellence, our customer service, and our financial management. I got to kind of get on Dave every now and then to kind of keep his hands out of our reserves, because our reserves is there for reserves, for emergencies, when we can't afford to pay our UAMPS power bill, or when we can't, when we have something, a transformer that goes bad all of a sudden with no notice or warning or anything. And so I'm always getting on him, don't touch the reserves, you know. We don't find money elsewhere in our budget. Reserves are there for a reason, and we want to keep that, and we want to build those reserves if we can. First thing we're pushing for financial-wise is to get out of debt. We want to get this $3 million paid for as soon as we can when it comes down to it. And so we want to stay on top of our financial situation and, so to speak, don't keep kicking the can down the road. We want to take responsibility of today and not leave that on to the burden of tomorrow. So a different approach we're taking than the government's taking right now.
So Shane, I have a question.
Yeah.
When we are able to reinstate these impact fees on power, we'll be able to apply that to the $3 million you mentioned?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you can, because that was that those projects were due to growth.
Okay.
So anything that's due to growth, you can bring those impact fees in and you can put that money towards
that project.
Yep. With this, just to kind of give you a heads up, they are looking on some projects. We are looking to probably do another substation with the growth we're seeing kind of out towards Gravel Pit Road. To feed up in the skyline and then feed back into town. And so these are some projects, quite a few projects I'm going to bring toward you guys as a board to kind of go over so you guys know what's going to be happening on our system so we can not run into the situation like we did this year where we had to kill half the town. If we would have had that other substation going, I think we could have had the other part of town going and everything. We would have only had a short outage instead of an outage all night. And so that's what we want to kind of implement. We want to provide these loop feeds around not only town but out in the county, and we want to stay on top of our maintenance when it comes down to it. So safety, operational, these are our end statements. Customer service, we just kind of expound on that. Financial. Okay, our strategic priorities. These are our statements and our goals. The first one we're focused on is safety. We perform each safety meeting every Tuesday.
every Tuesday, you guys are more than welcome to come up there around 8 o'clock when we do our safety meetings. And we either do it out of the vivid learning through UAMPS, or do it out of our safety manual, which we call our Bible when it comes to linemen. Or like today, we did it with the whole San Pete Valley, Manti, Ephraim, us, Fairview. We all got together and got certified in climbing the Hurt Man Rescue on the pole and out of the bucket. So we're so stoked on that. What's that?
Where'd you do that at?
We try to do it at a different location every year, so we did it over in Fairview today.
I'd like to look to that.
Yeah, so it's definitely good because we got these mutual aid agreements. It's nice to know the guys that you're going to be working with if something does happen. And so it brings us all together, and we're all great friends when it comes down to it. It definitely sometimes gets kind of interesting. We want to assign one of our employees to be a safety officer, just like we do have in the fire department, to be over this safety, make sure he correlates this and make sure he keeps track of what's going on. We want to certify each employee each year in our pole rescue, which we do, and our bucket truck rescue. If the guy can't climb, the guy shouldn't be a groundsman. Even Corey, he's not a lineman. But we make sure he gets certified every year. And sometimes it's scary for him. And it's tough. But we do our best to teach him the basics. So if something does come down, if it does come down to us, they can seriously get us down the pole if something does happen. We're going to continue implementing the entering into the APPA Safety Award Contest and into the IPSA Safety Award Contest. This is a picture of us putting the switch yard, all the busing up. Definitely a learning experience for us. Operation and excellence. The utility will strive to operate at its full potential. This is a hard one for us because we sometimes feel like we have a lot going on. We sometimes feel overwhelmed, and so you feel like you're not operating at your fullest potential. But I tell the guys, I'm like, are we staying busy? Are we getting stuff done? Are we seeing progress? And we are. And so I'm like, well, then you are operating that, you know, you're doing what you can. That's all that matters. So we want to perform an in-depth system engineering improvement study. The reason why I want to do that is because I want to see where we're sitting at on our solar. Right now I'm working on 7 different solar applicants, and I think it's just going to keep coming. It's definitely impacting our system for the good and for the bad, depending on where the solar's at. And so we want to have a study done and see where we're sitting. Because I know Spring City, they get their max. They get their 50 kW and then that was it. You know, I know we're up around 100 kW solar right now on our system. Maybe a little bit more right now.
That's private owned?
Yes.
Yeah.
25 minutes.
What's that?
You're 25 minutes.
Okay. Thank you. There's us setting the laminate poles down by the switch yard. And we had Ethan up here helping us do that. Customer service. Utility will maintain a positive image and always strive to service customers and community with a smile. We make it a point. The guy comes into work and he's had a bad day. He's already had a bad morning with his wife or some kids that he's finally getting to school or something like that. Or he has a little bit of a cold or a cough. Maybe he won't be up in the bucket. Maybe he won't be talking to the community.
Or maybe he might be in the bucket, so he can be away from the community members. We don't know. But it comes down to having a good attitude about work. And I tell the guys all the time, I'm like, that's the biggest thing, is to maintain a positive attitude no matter what you're doing, even when crap starts hitting the fan. You can only do so much. And as long as you're doing the best you can, that's all that matters. We go through their evaluations each year, I talk to each individual, and we work out our differences, and we try to get on the same page, and we talk to each other one-on-one, and you develop that relationship with you guys, and they become your brother. And you're real close to these guys, and it's hard to, if something does happen to them, it's hard to, we want to, our biggest goal is that we tell all the time is everyone goes home tonight. And we say that every single day, everyone goes home tonight. You know, safety is the biggest thing. Working with your customers is a big thing. We want to implement that positive attitude into our customers as we go through our day. Another strategic priority is the workforce. The utility will strive to maintain well-skilled and trained personnel and promote growth in their profession. Education's big. Like I said before, technology is great, and sometimes it can be a hindrance. But you got to know what's going on. Workforce is a big thing for us. Education, perform a salary survey every 4 years. We want to do that. And that's going to begin in April 2021. Have a succession plan in place, which we do have. And establish an employee appreciation program with compensation and encourage growth in profession. I kind of do my own little thing when we do our evaluations for our guys. We give them, you know, like a gift card or something to, you know, take their wives out to dinner or something like that, and thank them for their time and effort, because there is quite a few nights where you're out and away from your family and perform these. So I admire their sacrifice. And so we try to keep your employees happy to the best of your ability. Toby and Kyle working in Unit 4 on our hydro. Financial management, again, you know, we don't want to be the ones kicking the can down the road. We want to take responsibility right now of our actions that we put on that we do today. We established a reserve fund. We're going to reestablish a reserve fund for hiring and maintenance. Our hydros are up and running. I think Jeannie's noticed a big difference on our bill when they are running. So it's nice to have that. We are looking at maybe putting another hydro in when we do the irrigation project, if we can. And so there's a lot going to be going on. We want to do a rate study. We want to look at our rates really close, and every 5 years in September, starting this September 2021, and we want to make sure our rates are covering our needs. I believe we're doing pretty good. We did a rate study back in 2014, so it is time. And I talked to the mayor about this, and I think we can do our own rate study. I don't think we need to go out and pay $50,000 to have someone look at our rates when we know what we make, and we know what's coming in, and we know what needs to be going out. We can slowly, if we need to, that's the point, increase our rates where it doesn't put any burden on the customers, if it comes down to that. But hopefully with the impact fees and all that, the people that are going to be seeing, be getting hit, is the people that are coming in, not the existing customers. We don't want us that are already here taking the brunt of the new growth that's coming in. That's not our responsibility. The people that are coming in need to take that responsibility on themselves, the way they're impacting the system. So, we want to continue our diversified UNS portfolio. UNS has been great to work with. They're actually helping us right now on some transmission issues with Rocky Mountain and us right now. And nothing big. We're just trying to get things squared away, cover liability issues and stuff like that. And so this is up on our hydro line where you cannot get trucks to. So we get a little more climbing responsibility than other utilities around here. And so these guys try to stay the best on top of their climbing skills the best they can. So this is kind of some of the things we kind of say every day before we go out and work from the crew. We want to be safe. We want to provide quality, good work. We want to make sure it's done right. If it's done right, then you don't have to come back. So to say, I don't want to put any blame on anybody. I'm sure when it comes out to it, when I'm retired or something, they're going to be saying, that was Shane-ized. Or that was Matt-ized, or that was Cameron-ized, or, you know, that's just kind of a joke we have going around. But, so you want to make sure that none of your work is at all iced. So we want to be professional. That's real big. We go to 4 years of extensive schooling. You get your bachelor's degree pretty much in line technology. You should be a professional in what you do and the way you conduct yourself. You should be a professional in everything you do. And as saying after every job we do, another quality installation. And so with that, that's the end of my presentation when it comes to the strategic plan. UNS is great. They were great to work with on this. We was assigned homework, you know, after every session we did. And it took a lot to come up with, you know, trying to build your, you know, because the other plan that we had, we just pretty much had goals. Like we wanted to build this line out here, or we wanted to update this line here, which we do have those goals, but we wanted to be more in depth to who we really are. And that's what they wanted us to do, is put, you know, hey, put yourself in, put your heart into, you know, putting the plan together to the way you want to see your utility. And I think the guy's done a great job in putting this together and then how they want to see the utility prosper and grow. And my thing is I want to keep the guys we have. Like I said, workforce is a big thing for me. Because you know each other, you work well with each other. Sometimes when we get kind of lackadaisical on our tail board meetings, and we don't fill out all the paperwork that's required before every job, but that's there's a reason why we do that. Just because if something does happen, and something can easily happen when we try to do these jobs, because the days where you shut power off, they're gone. You gotta know how to try to work it out to the best of your ability to keep that power on and keep that customer happy and maintain the system the best you can and be safe. So what we want to do now is just we want to, with this being presented to you guys, to see if we can maybe adopt this strategic plan into the power department, or if you guys would want me to expound on it more, or if you want more time, kind of think about it or what we can do there. So,
is UAMPS required to have a strategic plan in place?
They would like you to. They don't require it.
Yeah.
But the reason why they like you to, they would like you to, is so you have something to, you always have something you're shooting for. Because if you plan to fail, you fail the plan. You got to serve that 1,000 times.
You got to document your goals.
Yeah. You got to keep
policies and all.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the only way you know that you're progressing is if you document it. And like with the RP3 award, the American Public Power Association, we was able to reach platinum level as one of the top utilities in the United States. And now our goal is to reach that diamond. And it's definitely a challenge, but I think it's a challenge that we can meet. You know, and I tell the guys, they're like, there's no way. But I'm like, dude, there is a way. You guys, we keep doing what we're doing. We can make this happen. Well, sure, we're going to run into setbacks and have issues and transformers that fail and stuff like that, but everybody does. So.
Thank you for the good job you do, Shane.
Well, thank you, guys. We couldn't do it without having a good council behind our backs. And we know if there is something that comes up, we can either come to the mayor or either one of you guys, and we can work it out.
I know it's a long ways away before we have to go over this salary thing with you. I was sitting with the prior mayor on that. Kevin and I both did at times. Where are we right now?
We're a little low when it comes down to I'm not comparing us to like that. Because the problem that I see is we're trying to compete with IOUs, investor-owned companies, along with co-ops and municipalities. So I'm not comparing us to like Provo or like Lehigh. I mean, their revenue is outrageous. We don't have the revenue here, but we have the luxury of life down here. And that's where it plays in, you know. I want to make sure the guys are getting taken care of through their compensation, through their retirement, through all those things like that, and when it comes down to it. And because that's why they choose the job down here, is because they love the area. And you can see that in the way they conduct themselves.
Yep.
We get a lot of applications of people wanting to come down and work. The two guys that quit here that we were training and went on to bigger cities down to Hurricane and Lehigh and all that, they honestly regret the decision they made because it's nothing but a lot more politics, a lot more responsibility is put on them. You know, we're free we're kind of a little more free down around this area.
Cost of living is a lot more up there, down there too.
So even though they might make a little bit more money, you got to take that in consideration. So I know we're always going to be a little low, but I want to make sure that we're being fair.
We're being pretty competitive, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's was my goal when I was sitting in on the board that we were, and then I worried about losing.
That's my biggest fear. Yeah.
I mean. Money talks.
I mean, look at Matt. Matt was here for 15 years. I never thought he would leave. But then all of a sudden, you know, an opportunity came along, and he took it. And good for him, you know. I don't hold a grudge against him or anything like that. I'm glad he's better than himself. You know, it changes hard sometimes, and so it's good.
Well, we'll probably have to rely a lot on you. Well, we do have this meeting to see where we're at and to be, like you said, be fair.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, thank you again.
How'd I do?
Oh, 40 minutes? 15?
An hour?
Dang it.
That time.
I'm sorry, guys. I get talking about it.
Thanks.
So I guess you say a little passion.
Passionate
about our job.
We appreciate you.
I love my job. I love the guys I work with. I love working with you guys. So, and I'm not trying to kiss butt or nothing like that, but I just, you know, that's why I'm still here.
I believe you truly do. I think you truly do from what I've experienced with you.
Anybody want to make a motion to adopt that strategic plan?
Okay, that's not bad.
I'll make a motion to adopt the Mount Pleasant Power Department strategic operations plan.
I'll second.
He has a motion by Russell and seconded by Kevin to adopt the Mount Pleasant City Power strategic plan and goals, which was presented to us. Do we do a roll call on that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, next on our agenda is public participation. All right. You want to come up? You signed up. We didn't know if he was on that or just signed it in.
You signed it all, bro?
About RL.
Yeah.
And I signed him up.
All third.
RL is great for our energy savings plan. He goes out and gets those refrigerators that people, and so he's definitely been promoting our Energy Star equipment program and all. I want to commend him for that.
Good. Good, good.
Thank you, Laura.
Yeah, it's not easy to do that.
All right, fire department.
Still been busy. Wonder how far Saturday. Jimmy, because from Woodstock.
Tis the season.
Tis the season. Clean them, check them.
Yep.
I've had two more calls today and then one yesterday. I've been kind of busy the last couple days, so. Other than that, we did get got all our air packs last night. I picked them up at district. So we got the 8 air packs with all the new bells and whistles, all my knowledge. So put them down at the station. We'll go over them tomorrow night, or Thursday night.
What are they called?
SCBAs. So.
Could you schedule to burn the tree branches down there at the sewer pond?
Yes. Yeah, we talked about it. In fact, we talked about that last council. We kind of threw it out there, but yeah, we can do that. Before it gets dry.
Before the snow gets gone.
Yeah.
And before we have spring cleanup again coming at us.
Yeah,
it's going to
be a big pile.
Yeah, we got to get it burnt before spring cleanup comes at us, so.
Let's shoot for not this Thursday, but the next one.
Okay.
You're all squared around.
If you're going to burn it, we may want to put down on social media too a little bit, so we don't get too many calls to.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a blazer.
Well, I was going to say we better get it out on social so people know what's going on.
Bring your hot dogs in, Marshall.
That's good to say.
Well, it'll make a lot of neighbors happy.
Melt the paint off your truck.
The last one we did do. Old Brian Seeley took a picture of our truck and it got put in one of the manufacturer's calendars, so it was kind of cool.
Yeah, I did see that picture. That was a cool picture.
Thanks.
Okay. Speaking of that area down there, did we ever talk to anybody about harvesting them rocks?
I forgot to ask Greg.
I was looking at it again the other day. There's a lot of rocks down there that could be used.
They may be too small for what they want, though.
Huh?
Yeah, I'll have to come up at
them. I don't know. I see them building fences with them, with the small ones, you know.
Yeah.
But the way we can get rid of a lot of them would make a little bit of money for the city while doing it. It'd be a good thing.
We also talked about maybe having Branch come with his crusher and crush up the concrete that's down there and be able to use it for road base.
Yeah, there's a lot of rocks down there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of rocks.
Yep. Yep. Any else, Tim? Shane, do you have anything from the fire department?
No.
Going quick now. Coulter, Public Works.
Ron, yours, still working on street signs. We got out, so I've ordered more. They should be here hopefully next week. They'll finish getting those up, and then we'll have, we'll have all the street signs for addresses through town. We're continuing working on meters and trimming trees. So we're hopping right along. So I got a chance tonight. I might be taking a vacation to DC with a guard.
For January 20th yet?
From the 14th to the 26th. So we'll see how that plays out in the next day or so. Might be shaving with my beard. So that's all I've got.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
I got a question for Coulter. What can we do to get started cleaning up these right-of-ways and so forth?
We need site and then enforce.
So one thing I've been working with Kevin Daniels, and he's supposed to be getting us a letter that we can, what I'd like to see us do, kind of been working with him, is that we could have any city employee take a picture of it. We'd attach the picture to a letter and send it to the resident. That would be our first means of giving them 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever we set there, get it cleaned up. If not, then it would turn over to our police department where they could go give them a citation.
Well, I think it's our responsibility to take control of that situation, and probably going to fall on your shoulders.
And I'm okay with that.
I think it's, we just keep pushing the can down the road. And
Kevin's supposed to be getting us a page with the code deal on it so we can use that, like it says, and be able to attach a picture to it so that so whoever receives the letter would know exactly what we're talking about and where the violation is and what we expect to get cleaned up.
And a lot of people take this the wrong way, but we've got to be fair across the board. Doesn't matter who, race, religion.
Right.
No. It has to be the same.
Yes.
Across the board.
And I think where you could really be a big help is to, you know what's going on your streets. You know where they're at more than anybody. You do the grading, you do all the repairs, so at the very least, I would hope you could point those areas out.
I've got a list.
And so we could start moving on that.
I think that fines, our fines, $50 don't mean much to people. I don't know where we go with that, but I think it's something we need to discuss. Because it needs to be healthy enough that it hurts enough that they'll do something about it. Because I know that there's individuals that we've went out and often laid citations on and they paid the $50 fine and just...
The other part of that, though, also, is your judge, you got to back everything you're doing.
That's right. It's got to be done. That's why I was wondering with Kevin how far we can go with that. How far can we set the limits on?
Well, the whole question is, what if they choose to not pay their fine? Get one.
Well, then there's got to be stipulation for 30 days. If we move it, then they're charged what it costs to get rid of it.
Well, if they don't want to pay that either, then what do
we do? We have to go through the court system to be able to take and remove it, and then pay for it.
And then we put a lien on their
property. And then we put a lien on their property. There is one right now that is at that stage that has probably 1 week left. And at that point, we will go in and clean it up, and that will be assessed to their property tax.
The downfall is that
I hope that's all 30.
We did that once. I know. It never got followed through with. And so we spent a lot of city money.
And it never got taxed to the property. And that's where we got to make sure that it's done the right way and take those proper steps.
It's going to be a tough one to pull.
People aren't going to be happy, but it's the right thing.
Yeah. Well, it's the right thing, and I know. But I'm just saying, in order for it to work, there's going to have to be some stiff fines and some obligation and then just some action.
there's going to have to be some action that it's not going to make us a more popular city council than ever was in this position in this city.
Well, popular to those that are in violation, it's popular to the ones that want this town cleaned up. Depends on how you look at it.
Well, there's a lot of them that want it cleaned up, that they're going to have to do some cleaning up too. That's my point. There's a lot of places in this town that need to.
I think the key is the reason those things, like follow-up of having it attached to the property, the reason those things happen is because there's not an attorney involved or there's not a city manager involved that's seeing that stuff's done. You got to have somebody that's there all the time enforcing and making sure that the line of responsibilities is completed. You get right in the middle of it and then drop the ball, and that's part, I think that's been part of the problem.
That's what we're going to do with our county or our city attorney.
There you go.
And then once it hits a certain point, it's no longer our expense either. It all gets tied back to that
property.
Well, we had a situation where we were trying to condemn a home there a year ago or a year and a half ago. It was absolutely unbelievable. The trash was piled up to where the animals were crawling up the trash and into the window of the house.
Right.
The floors had holes in them where pallets were being placed over the holes to keep them from falling through the holes in the floor. We pursued that, and for some reason we dropped it because the county would not help us at all with it. And this is some of the stuff that we face when we try to do these things.
Well, and that was a different situation because now you're on their property. And, you know, if they're on their own property, then it becomes more difficult. But even that can be enforced. We went in and had to clean up people's entire yard because it was infringing on all of the neighbors. So, but it's just a pain to try to go through, but sometimes you just got to do it.
Yeah.
But in a situation where it's unsafe conditions inside the home, the county's not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. And it makes it difficult for us to do anything about it.
Well, I know that would not stay related.
I think the best way to look at it is how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. We're just going to have to start and be consistent and drive forward.
Like I said, we've got one right now that has already had his ruling that he has got the 30 days to clean it up, which is fastly approaching. And the last time I talked to Kevin, there was another one that was going before the judge, and I haven't heard where that one's at.
Okay. Nope. The only thing I would recommend is don't use city crews to clean it up. Let's just contract it out.
Agreed.
Well, these two rulings can make a big difference from how well it goes, too. All we need is three or four good rulings like that, and they find out that this is...
Right. Right. That we're serious about.
Then it will help us.
Yep.
It might cost us some money and some frustration up front, but if we pursue and stay with it, and I'm 100% to stay with it, we've got a beautiful community with a whole lot of really good people in it. Well, I just ask Coulter to be mindful of where there is problems
I'd be glad to do the first step with the picture with a pre-made letter already. That's easy.
You got people that can draft the letter, but get the information where the problem is, and then...
So, according to Kevin Daniels, because I've talked to him on this a number of times, what we do is we take the picture, we send them the notice, and we also tape it on their door, and that's their notice.
Mm-hmm. That's easy, I got that part.
So, and then after that, we turn it over to him and let him do the prosecution. So,
that's good. Thank you.
So that's kind of where we're working towards.
Parking on the streets.
Well, that worries me. You can't make exceptions, because it'll come back to haunt you.
Well, that's the thing. We got people that's been parking on the streets for 50, 60 years. That's the only place they got to park.
Well, parking on the streets isn't the problem as long as they keep moving their cars. It's when they've been there for years.
Yeah.
Right.
Or the wheels are gone off its car.
If it moves every 72 hours, it's good.
Yeah.
But it's the trailers and the semis and all that stuff that's not moving, that's in violation. Broke down cars.
Cars with no tires on.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't read the ordinance. Does it stipulate that so that there's a stipulation as to what?
has to move within 72 hours.
Has to move and...
So it can park on the city right away, but it has to move every 72 hours.
Well, that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hard part's done, the ordinance is written, we just need to enforce it.
Yep.
It might be harder to do.
All right. Any other comments?
That's all I have.
We need somebody to make a motion to go into closed session and some talk about real estate.
Well, I'll make a motion, we go into a closed session to talk about real estate.
And just tell for us to go home.
I'll second that.
You want to do that paper tomorrow?
Yeah, that'd be fine. Yep.
So we still have to close this meeting as a public meeting?
We come back and close it in a public meeting.
Well, that's not looking good for cemetery water this year.
Well, we gotta do something then. We gotta use the well we got.
That's why I just don't ask for it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Justin Harris? Kevin was supposed to be here with the lights.
I took the line to it today, and that was specifically what we went to do, to drive around and look at our streets. Don't hold it up, absolutely.
He's on the...
Is he on the countdown?
He is on the, before the judge.
Because that is, that street there...
It looks like you're headed down a third world country.
Thirty feet between his cars and his trucks, and the trailer on the other side of the road.
Which is his.
You take a plow through there, it's got fit. Trailer and cars on the other side, and his going on that side, not on third north.
Third north.
Going east.
Well, it's unfortunate, he's far out.
He's on the 30-day week left to complete it up.
See, we went up there and warned, cleaned his place up for him. This guy, Guy Gee. We cleaned that up for him as a ward and helped him. He for all the state, he would keep that.
Right, that worked on.
Worse.
Guys, comment from the ether people that are online, especially if you have Shane talking. You have to speak up. Because he sounds so beautiful and clear, but I don't do it out on my microphone necessary. And then Bull talks into his mask, and it's like, and my dad's going, "What'd he say?"
Well, if Bull could take his mask off, he would.
So believe me, all trouble comes, is everything online's coming off that little mic right there on the other desk.
I have some suggestions for you if you're interested in them, but...
Thank you.
We gotta look at getting a speaker system in here.
I have ideas for that too.
I'm gonna have to start bringing the sandwiches.
Let's look at this agenda. Hopefully, one week.
I'll make a motion we reopen.
The second. Yeah, the motion by Sam and second by Russell to reopen the city council meeting after our closed session. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay.
Okay, we need to wait to make a jump over here.
So now, as part of that closed session...
So we're down to the council report.
We need to make the motion to accept the lease.
Okay.
We need to do that in public.
Make a motion to accept the lease on the bank.
On the bank building from the Highway Heritage 89 Alliance.
I make a motion that we accept the lease agreement with the Utah Heritage.
Highway 89 Alliance.
Do you want to state the amount?
Just the lease, that we're leasing the building.
Okay.
Lease agreement.
Yep.
Lease agreement. All right. Do we need a second?
Second it.
Sam will second it. Okay, so we had a motion by Russell and second by Sam to enter into the lease agreement on Wells Fargo Old Bank with the Highway Heritage 89 Coalition. All those in favor?
Aye.
I need to have to vote on that one.
We have to vote on that? Okay.
Yep. Justin?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
Russell?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay, council report. Justin, do you have anything to report to us?
I don't, I'll forego anything for tonight and report next time just because of the technical situation or something.
Okay.
Just really quick, am I putting you on the next council for the situation?
Yes.
Okay.
Go get it, permit.
Okay. Kevin?
The only thing I've got is tried to get with Jolene today, but she wasn't there, so they said she'd be there tomorrow concerning the flowers and so forth that we do to beautify the city. I think we want to do the hanging plants right on the streets and probably keep the library thing going. So I'd like to get some opinions on the two signs in City Hall, and City Hall might be changing anyway, so I think we could maybe do something with the different, with the landscaping in the front of City Hall.
What about the cemetery? Are you going to keep that plant?
The cemetery would also keep, that one seems, no, that one's right there, and it goes along with what's going on.
You know, if the police decide to move up here, you could put a, maybe we could look at getting a police department sign to put in that out here.
Good idea.
And just kind of eliminate that, maybe put some small hedges or something around it.
Yeah.
Something that doesn't hold a lot of water.
So kind of what we've talked about too is just leaving this name the City Hall.
Yeah.
And changing the sign over there to be the City Administration Offices.
Sounds good to me.
But you could still have a same place to park.
We could.
You could have police and fire.
Right.
They're both located.
Police and fire.
Yeah. So there'll be lots of different things we'll have to do and address as we talk about it.
If we proceed with that intent on the beautification thing, does that, is there anything you'd want to do different?
Well, they're keeping the cemetery too, right?
Right. The cemetery, the library.
And then, I don't think the signs are bad to keep up. I don't know.
Well, I think we just want to change our approach on the problem with the flowers is you can't see them.
Can't really see them anyway, but.
Right.
And I'd just like to get some input on what we do. I think whatever we do there, we can purchase plants or shrubs or whatever.
Didn't we talk about once having Bridger look at them?
Yeah. I don't think it'd even be bad to have Jolene.
Yeah.
Give us some input. She does enough of those plants that she could tell us some annuals that would come back and something that would
keep in there nice.
Keep in there and be able to look good and even that way.
I thought maybe we could have some shrubs, but
you cover up the signs.
You get something too big and it covers up the signs, and it's just kind of a little bit of a challenge. Anyway, we'll look into that so that we got something ready to go for spring.
Okay.
We talked, Jolene is a good consultant, and I'd like to get maybe an opinion from that guy, and I just haven't been able to hook up with him, so. Won't be long, but it'll be breaking spring, and we got to do something about it.
Right.
Hopefully we got 10 feet of snow to melt.
Just not looking good.
Right here in town.
Oh, I don't know if it was right here in town.
Not looking too good right now, is it?
No, it's not. It's looking terrible. We thought last year was
no switch.
We're going to be in trouble.
It's not even covering the station.
We won't even have to turn on the irrigation system.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
That's it.
Okay. Les?
I don't have anything. I talked to Stephanie. Everything's going good. She's got all the winter sports going up there. They got the pickleball, they're opening up. I didn't think soccer was that big.
Massive.
But I guess this indoor soccer, they've got, it's going, she says it's really popular. And they're getting ready to start up the co-ed volleyball.
It's about done.
Yeah, it's about ready.
It's women's volleyball.
Women's volleyball's about ready to start.
So, yeah, everything, she's doing such a good job. Brittany wasn't in, so I got there late. So I don't have anything other than that.
Okay. Rondi.
I don't have a lot. I just want to mention that I did go for a walk down 4th East a little ways just to look at, get a closer look at what kind of wear and tear that road's, you know, may or may not be having. And it looks to me like it's holding up. I'm not seeing any potholing or cracks or washboarding. So, and it's going through the stress test now with these freezing temps every night.
Oh boy.
Heat thaw. So I just looked at that close and I'm pretty impressed with this product. So that's all I have.
Okay. Yeah. Sam.
I don't have anything.
Okay. Couple things I have. I don't know if you're aware, Colleen Altrovi has turned in her credit card and has asked not to help do any more of the city celebrations.
Oh dear.
She said she will help train whoever you're putting in.
She's resigning.
She's pretty much done, yeah. Hmm.
It's going to be a big one to fail.
So we need to be thinking that way. I think we can have a lot of the staff here help to plan some of that. But
in fact, just a suggestion, because Natalie and I have talked about it, it would be nice to have somebody here that's kind of maybe over it, coordinating it, even if we have outside people doing the main thing, just because it doesn't look good when we have people call here at City Hall wanting to know about a celebration and we have to say, I don't know anything about it. So just so that there's the main sender is the city that knows what's going on, and we're delegating out to others to do it, but the city knows what it is.
That, not only for public, but for employees, that makes a big difference.
Yes, for everybody.
Everybody involved.
Everybody.
Everybody.
And it keeps everybody on the same page, because like when 4th of July comes, City Days, the police need to know what they're doing, Public Works need to know what they're doing, Power needs to know, and it would be nice for there to be one person kind of knowing what everybody's planning on doing and making sure that communication's happening.
Well,
so just a thought.
Tied to our website too, much easier too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, any volunteers?
Yeah,
well,
there's a couple of suggestions.
What's your
suggestions? So I think we throw it out maybe in the next month's city letter and ask if anybody would be willing to help us. Again, because I know there's been people that's offered like help with the parade.
And Colleen said that a lot of the people she's worked with are willing to continue to help. And Colleen is still willing to show the new person what they need to do. And I don't know if I told you, but she's talked to Stacy Palmer about taking over the youth city council, because Stacy's had kids multiple times in it. She's just waiting to hear back from Stacy on that.
Okay.
So, because she's got a child in it right now, and I think another one coming up that would be going in. And so she has looked into someone for youth city council.
Okay.
That'd be great. Well, I'd like to see somebody in our administration if they would want to be the hub that we could funnel information to.
Well, Colleen also has made some suggestions on that too, so you might want to talk to her on that too.
What's her suggestions?
Well, she called me today. She told me that she thought that Brittany or Natalie would be really good at it, but that they probably needed someone like me to be on it too, because I'm more calm and mellow, is what she said. I don't know if I can take one anymore.
Just one more iron in the fire.
Right, throw one more thing in there. But I honestly think, I've worked with Brittany on a lot of things. I really do think Brittany could do it. She is very, very organized, very.
Almost too organized.
Almost too, she plans things out, and she plans way ahead of time, and she
I really think Brittany would be a great asset at doing it. I think Natalie would be amazing at helping with it too. I just feel like Natalie's kind of like me, and I don't know that she could throw one more iron in the fire. But I would have a problem helping and supporting with it, and I don't think Natalie would either. I just don't think either one of us could head it. But I think Brittany definitely could do it.
You know, I'm glad we moved Brittany into a full-time position, which maybe she has got time to add that iron to her fire.
Well, a lot of hers does too, is if she has staff sitting up there, a lot of times it's pretty dead, and so she can assign the staff to help do certain things, like they put those bags together, you know, for the Christmas dinner, which was ideal because they had staff sitting there anyway.
Yeah.
And she is one of the most organized people I've ever met.
Yeah, she is.
You think she'd do it? Do you think she would do it?
Yes, I do think she would if she was asked.
That's what I was going to bring up. That's one that I was going to recommend right there.
I think we ought to throw that too, like it says on the paper, and kind of see if anybody would be willing to volunteer out in the city.
To be on the committee?
To head the committee, and then we'd have to make sure that we had one of our front office person on that committee so they knew exactly everything that's going on, because that's been part of the trouble. So,
well, I don't know. I would almost have Brittany be the chair and then have different people over. Just like you got a rodeo committee, you got the parade committee, you got the, you know, the
park celebration, committee. You could have a little.
I think that there has been, I don't want to say conflicts, but there's been issues between Pauline and the city hall, and I think we could resolve that by just having the chairperson be part of City Hall. And she's a paid administrator.
A communication problem more than anything.
Yeah.
And then just the person that the committees are reporting to.
Right.
Because then she will get the information to who it needs to go to.
Right. And maybe this individual could be a co-chair or an assistant to the chair or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have somebody that everybody can contact and get that information, but if it's originated here in City Hall, it'll be easy to keep City Hall up to date on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You might want to ask Brittany if she wants to do it, and if she does, then ask for her suggestions as to how she wants to run it.
Okay. And that's just so that.
But if some, you know, the youth council thing, that's huge. And that's probably a good one where it would be good to have an outsider kind of take that responsibility.
And I believe Stacy went with last year when they went up to the Capitol.
It was her mother.
Her mother.
Yeah, her mother.
That's right.
Mother-in-law.
Because it was a sister, or Mrs. Palmer that went.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So Who's Stacy married?
Matt. She's married to Matt.
Matt. Okay, that's Matt's wife.
Yeah. So it was Matt's mom that went with him last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay. Need to be looking for spring cleanup date. Just keep that in mind.
What did we do last year?
You want to set that this early? We don't.
Well,
last year COVID hit about the time we started.
Yep, we was going to do it a little different, and I think it was a big success last year doing it at the sewer pond. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see us do it down there again. We have dumpsters down there. The only thing that we had was complaints because it was all on one Saturday, so if somebody had something scheduled for that Saturday, it was bad.
Right.
So maybe we look at two different Saturdays, maybe we, you know.
We want to have it done before Memorial Day.
Yes.
I'm planning a little bit ahead. We'll make guarantee that you have enough dumpsters because that time of year
they go everywhere.
They go everywhere.
Memorial Day is on the 31st of May, and so we got.
First part of May or the end of April, something. So just we don't have to decide tonight, but I wanted to bring it up so you start thinking about it. Another thing that's come to our attention is we got people that's looking wanting us to annex certain pieces of land into the city for development.
West or east?
West. So the one particular is talking 34 houses. 34 lots.
1 acre lots, half acre lots?
Half acres.
So what needs to happen. Is Justin listening to this?
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, but doesn't the annexation take place after the development is completed?
No, it's going to take place before.
Well, go ahead.
To do an annexation plan, surveyed and drawn up and moved by the city, and then once that's done, then they move into their development, whatever they do. I didn't quite hear the proposal, though. Could you say that again?
So basically, somebody wanted to have us annex them into the city, looking at possibly 34 lots.
34 residents.
So one of the big concerns I have is until we get this well done or a treatment plant, we got water issues.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you that, two situations that I'm aware of is, one is they're trying to annex Fairview Heights. They want to annex that in the city. Well, the other one is going on down in Manti, there's a developer that is went through that process, and he had his annexed before, and so they ended up widening the streets going into the west fields, which meant moving the fence lines back away from the roads. And that's what's going to have to take place on this situation down there, because there's no way these little county roads are going to facilitate, that process. If they want to annex into the city, they're going to want to comply with the same road widths and everything else.
Right. The other issue we've got is the water, like irrigation and different things too.
Well, how quick is he set on building?
Fairly soon.
Because he can only go as fast as the annexation and everything else,
right.
Reality. And,
right.
I mean, there's quite a bit that goes into it, I don't think.
Yeah, it's not going to happen overnight.
No. I mean, on one hand, you don't want to not stop. I mean, you don't want to see building, but on the other hand, you don't want to.
You don't want to stop it either.
You don't want to stop it somewhat either.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're letting you annex it before so that we can control it.
Correct.
Well, then you have the engineers go to work on all of the infrastructure.
So he would have to pay for all that.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
In order, and then he's kind of more dead set guaranteed that he's going to actually commit and do what he's going to do.
Right.
We'd control it a lot better that way.
Is it already adjoining to the city?
There's a little piece of property in between this particular piece of property and the city limits.
10 years.
Where's that have to be annexed?
Huh?
That would have to be annexed.
Well, it's going to grow according to what our water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it takes quite a while to annex it in.
I tried to get a hold of, in fact, I stopped at the county building in Manti last week, and they didn't have anybody there that could answer those questions, but I actually stopped and asked those questions of how they were handling the situation down west of town. Now, I got it from the contractor that the city and the county joined together and bought the property and allowed the fence lines to be moved. But I'd hate to say anything until we found out the legal process that needs to take place with that.
And does the county even have a planning and zoning person right now? Because that guy switched over to enforcement for the county.
That I don't know.
The lady there said that my best resource would probably be the road department. I tried to call them, and they're probably out of the. She didn't give me a cell phone. She gave me the office, and they haven't returned my call. So.
Well, you know who the boss is now, right?
Tom Seeley's the boss now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Yes.
Hmm?
Yep. Yeah. So Steve's
over the
Steve's
road
gone.
Department.
Yes.
Yeah. Steve's gone, and Tom took his place.
He's gone. Well, I don't know. Well, anyway, I'm all for it if it's done right.
Right. That's why we've got to get...
Just like, so we avoid these kind of situations that we're dealing with all over town right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So we got to get...
So I appreciate the heads up, but I think we need to go to work on it.
We need to go to work on it. That's why I'm bringing it up, because that was a question brought to me, is like, how do we even approach this? And I said, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you guys got all the money to do it and develop it and push it forward.
But again, how do we do it the right way? Like Kevin said, we got to do it the right way and make sure it fits in with our master plan.
It's got to be a cooperative effort. We're going to have to contribute something to it, but...
Yeah.
They're the ones that are going to gain from it. And, you know, the impact fees, it'd be good to have them in place too.
And he's going to have to, like I say, he's going to have the right width of streets and
right.
Everything in there.
So that particular road is a main artery.
Yes.
In fact, it's probably that one on the highway and the one on Ninth, or Thousand, is probably the only three accesses we're going to have to that area down there.
Till you get further south and you get out to, not by Terry Brotherson's road going down, but...
Yeah.
I don't think it's down there, but, you know...
That'd be another potential.
I mean, that hopefully that's a long time before that ever happens.
Well, even Thousand, we should probably even look to widen that road out.
Right.
The traffic that's on that road.
Right.
Truthfully, you know, we should be starting to look at that.
I didn't notice that Manti just bought one side. I mean, they just...
Moved everything on one side.
On one side.
The city, they're nicely at that, the city on the south side.
That one, and it'll probably be at least past the guard and all that. We want to be on the north side of the road. But then you get down to that home and whatnot, then you might have to jog and take some out of the contour yet, you know?
We just need to...
We're just going to have to establish those so that people do know how to develop.
Yep, we really need to start looking at some...
That was the purpose for the buffer zone.
Yep.
They've been down there surveying something now down on the lower road. The next one down that goes through, goes past Jorgensen's farm, goes all the way out to the highway. That probably won't affect us, but they're surveying. Do you know what they're surveying down there, Justin? They're talking about installing something they got installed. And so I'm wondering where that's going to go, if it's fiber or it's...
So that's the road that Shane told us the county actually has wider than what the fences are now, and that's when he was wishing he moved his poles back 10 feet more.
Is that part of our, do we serve them down that far?
Yes.
That's not Rocky Mountain, is it?
No. Nope. Clear down
by Troy Jorgensen's and across and Troy's. Yeah, that's Jenner Gardner. All across there, and then it goes clear out to the highway. They'll be in all state and flags. They're going to install something there.
We go clear over to Jenner Gardner's with power.
So I'm wondering what they're going to throw in the ground there. So the ones that are south, are on Rocky Mountain?
Yes.
I know they said Centrocom's planning on doing fiber in the whole city. Trying to remember the date. But it's coming.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
It could be fiber.
It's going to go in the ground, so yeah. We better get on it.
Yeah.
Find out.
And then just a reminder, next week's the 10-year public hearing meeting at 6 o'clock.
That's on the
10-year plan. And then following week...
Tuesday?
Yep.
And then public hearing next week. Though.
Right. And then the following week is the public hearing on the water project to approve that to Sweden Bond and go into debt on that. And then the school deal is done. The deeds are recorded.
Okay.
So,
we're getting some progress.
Yes.
Work going on.
That's good.
That's all you got, man.
That's all I got.
Most of the real jerk.
That's all I got.
I wasn't doing it.
I will see you later.
Oh, yeah. How about that? That's a lot of paper.
That's this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.